I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 3, 8, and 9. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 3, 8, and 9. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise.
Christopher, thank you for reading that passage in such a fine way this morning. And obviously, our study this morning is going to revolve around faith. I think faith is one of those things that probably every one of us present this morning has. Not to the same degree, perhaps. Even the Bible talks about degrees of faith. Sometimes it speaks of those who have great faith. On one occasion, Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, "O ye of little faith." Faith is something that can grow, but I'm sure all of us, at least to some degree, have faith in God. It's one of the predominant characteristics of a Christian's life. And yet at times it seems that it's a little difficult, even for the Christian, to truly define his faith. On the other hand, you find the infidel who laughs at a Christian's faith. And so what we're doing here this morning is we worship God by faith because we believe there is a God, and because we believe the Bible is his word. What we're doing would be something of a mockery to some people in this world today. And yet it's the faith that we have as Christians that sustains us in many of the difficult areas of life. When we face heartache, when we face sickness, when we face death, it is the undergirding faith that we have as Christians that makes it possible for us to, with a degree of peace, with a degree of lack of fear, face many of these trials and difficulties that come to us in life. As Brother Phillips mentioned in his prayer a moment ago, there is a diversity among those of us who gather here and do appreciate his prayer. And I'm sure as far as our faith is concerned, there is a diversity as to its strength. And so there are many ways that we might look at the subject of faith. The Bible has so much to say on this subject. But what I'd like to try to do during the few moments that we spend together during this portion of our worship is try to call your attention to some of the strange workings of faith. And hopefully as we do this, it would make us look inwardly at our own faith and to see to what degree these strange workings of faith can be found in my own life, if each of us would look inwardly at some of these characteristics. For instance, one of the strange things about faith to me is that faith works where there's no apparent reason for doing the thing that has been commanded. I guess since we were small children, we wanted to know why. I can still remember my father saying, "John, do something," and I'd say, "Why?" And sometimes his answer was simply because I said so. I didn't think that was a good answer. However, as my children were growing up, and sometimes I would say, "Do this, do that," they would say, "Why?" And I would say, "Because I said so." Sometimes it's difficult to give an answer for why we are saying what we are saying. And when we look at the commands that God has given us, sometimes the question, why? Why do this? And yet if we have the kind of faith that as Christians we should, we'll do those things that God commands, whether we see any apparent reason between what he's commanding us to do and what is to be done. I think a good example of that is when you look back at Abraham. Abraham was commanded by God to leave his homeland, Ur, place of his birth, where his family was. Everything seems to be going fine. No problems as far as the scriptures are concerned. This was home. And suddenly God says to Abraham, I want you to leave this homeland, this known land that you have lived in all your life. And I want you to go to some land, not going to tell you where it is yet. I'll guide you. But I want you to go to some other land. That meant leaving family and kinsfolks. That meant leaving the home of his birth. That meant leaving family and friends and neighbors. And going into a strange land, going into an area where there were going to be dangers that he would face. Abraham, can you see any good reason for doing what God has just asked you to do? I'm sure Abraham would have said, no, I really don't see the reason for doing this. And yet he did it. And we know he did it simply because of the faith that he had in God and what God was telling him to do. And so a little later, when we get over into the New Testament, in that great 11th chapter of Hebrews that speaks of faith, when you get down to verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing whether he went. Didn't even know where he was going. But his faith led him to do it. Later in his life, God says to Abraham, take your son Isaac. That boy through whom all of the promises I've made to you are to come. Where your seed will be is the sands of the seashore and the stars of the heavens. But I want you to take him now and you go up on a mount and you sacrifice him. You kill him. Sacrifice him to me. And so you see old Abraham taking Isaac, and they go up the side of the mount, the servants down below. The altar is built. The wood is placed. And Isaac is on the altar. And Abraham has the dagger in his hand. He has it drawn back. He's ready to stab his son, to kill him, to offer him as a sacrifice. God stayed his hand and said, no. But if you were to ask Abraham, why is God asking you to do this? And even when he asked you to do it, commanded you to do it, why would you kill your son? And the only answer is, God said, do it. And I have faith in God. And so, again, in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, and the 17th verse, by faith Abraham offered up Isaac. He felt that God would bring him back to life, if that were necessary to fulfill his promises. But nevertheless, he did something that surely there could be no reason between what God was saying for him to do and the actual act of it. But that's one of the strange things about faith. I wonder if our faith is strong enough that when we don't always see why God is saying do this or that, that we'll do it regardless. You know, a lot of people refuse to be baptized simply because they say, I don't see any reason in it. Well, Abraham could have said that. There was another time when God commanded the Ark of the Covenant to be carried on the shoulders of the priest. Some kind of box formation. There were rings in the side. A pole was to be put through each side of that, and that was to be carried on the shoulders of the priest. God said, carry it that way. Now, surely there were some other ways that it could have been carried. In fact, David thought he found a better way on one occasion, and he put that ark on an ox cart. It didn't work. That wasn't God's way. It caused some people to lose their lives. But nevertheless, God said, you do it this way. And why, God? Why? Surely there are other ways, maybe even better ways of doing it. And the only answer is because God said, you do it that way. And so faith obeys. Faith obeys whether there is any good reason apparent to us or not. But there's a second strange thing about faith. Faith works where there's no apparent connection between the thing commanded and that which is to be attained. Just, there's no connection there. Now, I can see a connection between digging a hole in the ground to plant a tree. But I don't see any connection between sitting down on the ground in that spot for an hour before I plant the tree. That just wouldn't make any sense. No connection in that. I see the connection between digging a hole in the ground. But by the same token, there are times when God commands us to do something that we would say, that just doesn't make sense. I don't see any sense in it. There's no connection between what we're trying to accomplish. Ask Joshua about that. Joshua has led the people across the Red Sea. They're about to take that greatly fortified city of Jericho, a wall so thick that It said you could drive two chariots around it side by side on the top of the walls of Jericho. Quite a fortified city. Now I can imagine Joshua and the other officers of the army gathering their battering rams and assault ladders and all of the accoutrements of war, and yet God says, Joshua, walk around the city. Walk around it 13 times. Is there any connection between walking around such a great walled city and being able to take that city? Obviously, there is no connection other than faith. Faith that God said do it, and if we'll do what God said do by faith, then God will take care of that. We're looking again in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and now verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about 7 days. Faith works where there's no apparent connection. Again, there was a time when Israel was coming through the wilderness and many of the people had been bitten by poisonous snakes. They were dying. God said, Abraham, you make a brazen serpent. Form a serpent out of this and put it on a pole. And then you tell the people, everybody that look at that brazen serpent up on that pole will be healed of their snake bites. I can imagine some of those people saying, Moses, that's just, you know, out of the question. It's foolish. Looking at a brazen serpent on a pole is not going to get me over this poisonous snake bite. No connection between what was being commanded and what they wanted to obtain. But those who looked upon it, when they had enough faith to do what they were told by God through Moses, they were healed. It's a strange thing, isn't it? And there are going to be times in our lives, and maybe right now is the time for us to look inwardly and say, would I have done that? Is my faith that strong? Well, faith is a strange thing. And there's something else that's strange about faith, and that is that faith will work where there's no apparent necessity for doing the thing that has been commanded. I think you could illustrate that point by God telling Noah to build an ark. Now, if he were to tell us to build that in Middle Tennessee, we'd probably see some reason for it right now. But I doubt that Moses saw any good reason for building that ark at that particular time. Were there any signs in the element that would indicate they needed a boat of any kind, much less one of the dimensions that were mentioned here? Were there any past experiences in all of human history that would indicate that there would ever be a need for something like this? 16 centuries or thereabouts had passed, and there had never been any need for an ark. And as you look at man's reasoning, and obviously the majority of the people who were living at that time, it was a foolish thing to do. And can't you see the people laughing at Moses and his sons over all that period of time as they felled the trees and built the ark, and then as they started gathering the animals? No reason for this. No reason in this world to do it. Noah, why are you doing it? And his only answer could be, God said, do it. And I have faith in God. And so again, now the 7th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet. Never had even seen anything like this. Things not seen as yet. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he commanded, condemned the world, and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Faith, therefore, works when there is no apparent necessity for doing what God has asked. And I think, again, we could look at it in our day regarding baptism. I really don't see the necessity of this, and perhaps other things that God has commanded. But I'd also suggest to you, as we look at some of the strange workings of faith, that faith endeavors to do everything commanded, regardless of the sacrifice, regardless of the trials that are going to be necessary in order to do what God has commanded. Regardless of what it takes to do it, regardless of what trials I may have to face, what sacrifices may come, I'm going to do it. When you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and God told Paul to go to the Gentile world and to turn them from darkness to light and open their eyes and turn them from Satan to the Lord. And that man was going to have to give up an awful lot to do that. There were some sacrifices involved. If you look back on the life of Saul of Tarsus at that time, he was really an up-and-coming young lawyer. He was the kind of man that was probably going to continue to rise among those of the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders. There was a lot of prestige involved in Paul's life at that time. There was doubtless some power that was involved at that time. There were some goals and some achievements that he wanted to have at that time. And God is saying, you leave, put all that behind you. And as he began to do what God said, not only did he lose all of those important things from the world standpoint, but he began to be beaten. He began to be stoned, even to the point they left him outside of the city, thinking that he was dead. He began to suffer shipwrecks. There was persecution from those outside, those within the church, or at least among the Jews. That man suffered unbelievably, far beyond anything really we can imagine. In fact, if you turn over to the 2 Corinthians letter in that 11th chapter and begin reading with about the 25th verse, Paul said, "Three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness," and he goes on. Paul suffered a lot just to do what the Lord told him to do, because he had faith in God. And somehow he believed that if he did that, all things would work together for good, as he himself wrote on another occasion to those who love the Lord. And I think you could look at the life of Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel was in a pretty prestigious position also. Politically, he was on the rise. And yet there was that decree that the king had signed that no one was to pray to anyone, any god, other than to the king himself. Daniel went right on, opened his windows toward Jerusalem, prayed just as he had every day. His enemies were watching. They caught him. He was thrown into a den of lions. Now, I know we kind of say that rather glibly, and we've said it so often, I wonder if the real impact of what that's saying. He threw him among some lions. They were going to tear him up, eat him. Daniel, why would you do that? Why couldn't you just not pray to God for a few days? Daniel said, "No, I'm going to do what God says do, because I have faith in him. I believe he'll take care of me." I wonder if our faith were tested to that degree, how it would react. If we have the kind of faith that these men of the Bible had, we're going to do whatever's necessary, even if it means dying or have to sacrifice a great deal. Daniel, Paul, and look at Moses. You talk about a man that had everything that the world could offer at that time. Son of Pharaoh's daughter. Probably meant that he was going to hold a powerful position in Pharaoh's household and government. Most powerful nation in the world at that time. Just think of all the glamour of Egypt. Think of all the riches of Egypt. Think of the power of Egypt. It was within his grasp. But Moses gave all of that up. He sacrificed it. And not only did he give up that, but in turn, he accepted a great deal of suffering as he tried to lead the Israelites and did lead them through the wilderness. How many times did they complain about him and to him? How many times did they say things like, "Why did you bring us out here to die? We were better off in Egypt." How many times did he have to face the people turning from God as they would build a golden calf or something of that nature? And Moses had to endure all of that for 40 years going through the wilderness. It's not that he just gave up Egypt, it's what he had to suffer. And why in the world would a man do that other than to say, "I have faith in God"? And so in Hebrews 11:24, by faith, it tells us that Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the riches or the pleasures of Egypt. And then he goes on to say, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. My, what faith he had. Well, there's something else about faith that seems rather strange. You have to have some pretty strong faith to do these things that we're looking at. But faith endeavors to do what God commands exactly as he commands it to be done. Think about that again. Exactly as he says it's to be done. Not to the point that it agrees with what I think, but whether I agree with it, whether I see the wisdom in it or not, I'm going to do exactly what God says because I have faith in him. When you look at that command that God gave to Noah to build the ark, and you go back to Genesis, the sixth chapter, and you begin reading in the 14th verse, and listen to what God said to Noah. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Well, he's got to find enough gopher wood to do it, whatever that was. No other kind could he use. Just had to be that particular kind. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark. One window? Surely there ought to be some more windows beside that. He said, you'll make a window. You will make a window for the ark. And then set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And he goes on. Now that's pretty specific as to what he's to do. So many cubits long, wide, high, one window, one door. You do it just like this, Noah. Don't you imagine if the average man would have been building that boat, he would have said, you know, at least we need two doors with all of these animals coming in. Wouldn't it be better to have a few more windows in this? Maybe a little longer. Wouldn't have worked, would it? Faith says, I'm going to do what God says exactly as he says, do it. David got into trouble when he didn't do things exactly like God said, do it. Going back to that occasion when he was carrying the Ark of the Covenant back into the city and God had said, carry it on the poles, and David thought that it would be better. This would be a more modern way of doing it. You know, we want to keep up with the times. We want to be liked by the people around us. Let's do it a modern way. Let's change things. Put it on an ox cart. That's the way they sent it back to us from the Philistines. And he did, and the results was disastrous. He went back to doing it the way God said do it. What about when God said to Moses, you build a tabernacle? If you go back and read again, the instructions that God gave, they are so explicit as to the length, the width, the kind of material that was to be used, how many rooms in it, holy place, most holy place, what was to be placed in each portion of that, what was to be outside of the tabernacle where the priest could wash. Every little detail was given to Moses. Now again, I imagine with human reasoning there could have been some thoughts of it would be better to move this particular object over here, let's put this in this other room. You could come up with all kind of scenarios. But God said, you do it this way, Moses, explicitly. And he did it. And he was blessed. If he had not done it exactly as God said, do you think there would have been the same results? Obviously not. Now, what about our faith? Do we have the kind of faith that says, I may not always understand the connection between what he's asking and what I'm to do. I may not even see the necessity of doing what God is telling me to do. I don't see any connection between what God commands and what I am to do. But regardless, I'm going to do it exactly as God says for me to do it. I'll follow God's commands. That's where we come up with that idea, speak where the Bible speaks. That's not just a little saying that somebody came up with. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. Do it exactly as God says do it. Well, we all have faith. We have some degree of faith. We wouldn't be here this morning. Oh, I suppose there could be the possibility that a man or comes with his wife or vice versa just because he wants to please her. But I think most of us are here because we have some degree of faith in God. And we believe that God is in our midst and that we need to worship him. But is it strong enough faith? Is it great enough faith to do just as these passages have suggested this morning? And I think about that in connection right now with the invitation that Jesus extends to us. I really think we all should get down on our knees and say, thank you, God, for inviting me to come to you. Thank you for offering to forgive me of my sins. Thank you for offering to give me a home in eternity, an eternal life. Now, how can I receive that? God has given some very explicit commands, and in some of them, men don't see any reason, any connection for doing it. And baptism's one of those things. How many times has a person said, I love God, I believe in God, but I don't see any need in baptism. I think sprinkling is all right. I think pouring's all right. I don't think you have to do anything. Well, we may not see any sense in it, but that's what God said do, as well as to repent of our sins and be willing to confess his name. And then there's the great challenge that comes to us after we have done that, to live the faithful life of a Christian. And there's the real challenge that comes also. Day after day, week after week, year after year, until the end of life, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. I hope our faith is growing each day. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's why we need to continue to study God's Word every day if we really want our faith to grow stronger. But I wonder if in this gathering this morning there's someone whose faith would lead them to come to Jesus on his terms. Because your faith is so strong, you're going to confess him before others. And that's what he says, not just in your mind, but with your mouth. Romans 10:10, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Repent of sins and be buried with him in baptism. If you're ready to do that, this would be a wonderful time to do it, and your coming might encourage someone else likewise to obey the gospel. If you have faith in God and you're willing to accept him on his terms, we plead with you to come right now as together we stand and sing.